He's gonna be about 15 minutes late. He just texted me, so. You want a slipper? Don't matter. Center friends this morning. David Robinette Jr. is on the way. He had a work emergency, said he'd be a little bit late, so he'll be here a little bit later, so you get to look at me a little longer this morning. Welcome to Center Friends. I'm glad you're here today to worship the Lord, and it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day in the air conditioning. So to get us started, let's stand and sing hymn number 630, There is Sunshine in My Soul Today.
Sunshine in my soul today, oh glory, oh sun bright.
God, we thank you for the sunshine today. We thank you for being able to gather together and worship you. And we lift you up. We exalt your holy name. That everything is done here today, we invoke your spirit on it. And that we do so in celebration of you who gives us freedom from the cross. In Jesus' holy name, amen. We'll take a look at our announcements this morning. We have a Grasshoppers baseball game coming up this week. If you have reserved tickets, please see Martha Jo after worship. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. You can catch her probably down front here to talk about those tickets. She should have those for you. We have monthly meeting next week. I encourage all members to attend. It's at 7 p.m. We'll be discussing the faith and practice revision, so please be in prayer and take a look at that. There's a draft copy back on the foyer, and also if you need one emailed, I can also email you a copy as well. We'll need to have an answer for annual sessions coming up in August. Any other announcements we need to cover?
Coming up quickly, it's going to be the first weekend in August, and I'm going to start doing a lot of planning this week. So if you are sixth grade and older and can help Friday night or Saturday, it's just going to be those 2 days and then a little closure on Sunday. If you could possibly help, if you would let me know, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer, but it would really help to know sort of how many volunteers that we're working with as I finalize plans. So that would be great to know if you can help, and you can sign up or just email or call me this week. Would be great.
A couple of other announcements I will bring up. The Reconnect event, our first Reconnect event, is coming up on August the 24th. That is to reconnect each other inside the church so that we can connect with others outside the church. It's a kickball game, and there'll be more details coming up. There'll be some other games and food. So we do ask you to put that on your calendar, Saturday, August 24th, and we'll send out some more details about that. Also, August the 11th is Western Quarter Revival being held at Concord Friends. That's a Sunday through Wednesday. Please come and attend that. I will be opening up the service on Sunday, and then there'll be guest speakers Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So we do invite you to come to the Western Quarter Revival at Concord Friends beginning on August the 11th. Are there any other announcements that need to be mentioned? But they are definitely in honor of Hilda's birthday. That's right. Any other announcements? If not, will our ushers come forward, please? Let us pray. Lord, we come to you again and just in awe of your powerful, powerful spirit you've placed on us. But we love you. We love the blessings you've given us. As we give today, as we sacrifice our earnings today, Lord, we do so in your honor. We do so in your name. We do so with your guidance so that we can continue the message of the gospel throughout the world. Lord, bless these givings. We lift them to you. We place them in your hand for your direction. In Jesus' name, amen.
So do you know what do you know about rainbows? Do you know how they're formed or made? How, Hazel? Yeah. So rainbows are made when it's raining and sunny out. By the sun reflects through the rain droplet, it makes a rainbow. So you can make rainbows indoor, and you can also make them outside with the hose and the sun. So the flashlight's going to act as the sun, and the CD is going to act like the reflection of the water droplets. See if you can. Sophie, can you see? Tell me what colors you see in the.
I can see a little bit of red and green, purple.
Yeah. Do you know what all? What are the colors of the rainbow, Sophie?
Red, green, yellow, green, white.
Yeah. And then, do you know what part of the Bible there's a rainbow? No. So, in Genesis, after the flood of Noah, God put a rainbow in the sky as a sign of his promise that he would never destroy the earth with a flood. So in Genesis 9:13 through 17, it says, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of covenant between me and the earth. So it's saying that God put a rainbow in the sky to show a promise that he would not destroy the earth with a flood ever again. So before you leave, I'm going to give you a little trail mix with different treats from different colors of the rainbow. And so each color of the rainbow has a meaning for so. So red represents the blood of Jesus shed for our sins, offering salvation to all, which it says in 1 John 1:7-9. So it means that the blood shed when he died for our sins. And orange represents the fire, for our God is consuming fire, which is in Hebrews 12:29. And yellow represents the light of God. In him there is no darkness. So whenever you're with him, then you will always have light, which is John 1:5-7. Green represents eternal life in Jesus, which is John 3:16. Blue represents living water, which is John 4:14. And then purple represents the royalty of the king and the kings of the crown left, James 1:12, which means that he is the king, the one and only king. So let's pray. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all these children who have come here today and for the beautiful week that we've had so far and the week ahead of us, and that all these kids go home and enjoy a nice meal. And in your name we all pray, amen.
Get them all sugared up and give them to Becky. She was talking about the colors of the rainbow. I still remember Roy G. Biv. That's how I could keep the colors. And as she was going through them, I was like, okay, red, orange, yellow, yeah. So that was a good lesson to remember that he will never destroy the earth with a flood. He never said there would not be floods, as Louisiana is experiencing right now. But he said he would not destroy the earth with a flood. So as we have that on our hearts, let's go into our prayer and praises. Who saw God this week? I know I did. He helped me out. Excellent, excellent. Are there any praises anyone wants to share? Any God moments they want to share? Okay. Well, we'll just know that God's on the move. He's working. As long as we're seeing him, he's working. And that's a good thing that we can recognize that. We do want to be in prayer for those that are being affected by Hurricane Barry. Sorry, Barry. But now Tropical Storm Barry, they're not concerned so much about the winds as they are now the slow movement of it and the rain that it's bringing, as some of the levees have already broken. Some of you had mentioned some medical things to me, and we do have those, and we do remember those that are going through medical situations or treatments or upcoming illnesses or upcoming treatments for those, surgeries and that sort of thing. So please remember those that may have those going on. Remember our shut-ins during this heat. It's going to get hotter this week. So reach out and call one. Call someone. Call an older person. Call a single person to make sure they have fans or they have a working air condition or they have cool drinks. Something as simple as a phone call, just checking on them, make sure they're okay. Because we know some of our older folks like it hot in their houses. And with it 95 degrees and the oil furnace going, like my grandma used to have, it can get a little too hot. So well, just make sure you reach out and think of them and think of those that are working out in the heat this week. Are there any prayer requests we need to add? Well, we'll definitely be praying for all the unspoken ones, because I know there are some. So let us pray. Lord, although it's quiet, with the praises and quiet with the prayer requests, you know they don't have to be said out loud. The hands raised that saw you work this week, those I'm sure see you every day. You know what's on our hearts. You know what's in our minds and what we're dealing with. You know the blessings you've given us. And Lord, help us understand and break our hearts that we can be thankful to you. We don't take you for granted. That we don't just assume that you're going to be there. But that we consciously and intentionally recognize your hands placed on us. From protections, from traveling vacations, to the air condition working during this 95 degree heat. There are blessings because you gave someone the skill to either create it, work on it, keep it running. That is your creation. All man-made objects. You gave someone that skill to create that comfort for us. Let us see that. Many medical needs, Lord, you know those. Some blessings, some upcoming procedures. Place your veil of comfort, your blanket of security, and your heart of patience, that there's an understanding of what is needed. Give the doctors clarity in their decision making. Give family members clarity in their decision making. We've seen you work. We know you can do it. Again, let us not assume, but let us recognize your power. Lord, as those go through Hurricane Barry or Tropical Storm Barry, protect them. Things can be replaced. People cannot, Lord, and we ask that you protect them, you lift them up, you place them in a boat, you place them above ground, you place them in higher ground, above the water, but that you give the engineers, as they move forward, the ability to create something better to protect from the water. Lord, I trust that you said you promised us you would not destroy the earth with floods. Give us guidance how we can prevent even the small storms. Show us your purpose and your guidance. Give us your light so that we can see in the darkness. But most of all, we thank you and we praise you for your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name, in his life, in his death and resurrection that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Got a little tickled earlier when I was doing prayer requests, or I'm sorry, with offerings, while I waited before I started praying, because right before I said, let us pray, people says, well, we're creatures of habit. One day I may change it up on you, you're going to be looking down and I'm going to skip around. But that's why I waited, because I just about said, not yet. But it's funny, some people's heads just went down. But I will tell you, and I forgot to mention it, I didn't forget, for the record, on the recording, Whitney, I did not forget. She's traveling from Colorado tomorrow. She'll be flying back with her best friend from college, her college roommate. They went to a conference. They've had a good time to be able to get away, and this will be the first time that her college roommate, Emily, has been away from her two little girls for an extended period of time and has done very well with it because of FaceTime. Thank goodness for technology. But they were able to FaceTime. But pray for them for safe travels as they fly back tomorrow afternoon. Last week we talked about expectations and talked about the expectations of what we have of God and what God has of us. Do you remember those? Remember the three? Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. Pretty simple, at least in writing them out, but acting them out, living them out is probably the three hardest things to do. But we're going to expand on that just a little bit. And I said Whitney has been in Colorado with her best friend the last few days, and I came home to an empty house on, I think it was Wednesday. And, you know, sometimes an empty house isn't necessarily a bad thing. If you stand there and you're like, wow, ain't nobody here. You hear the air conditioning kick on, you hear the house settling. But I got in there, and I have my routine. And my routine, of course, is I walk, I put my book bag down, I take my cell phone off, I put my wallet in my pocket, I go into my other room, I disarm myself, and that sounds crazy, but I disarm myself and take my uniform off and put some regular clothes on, and I got over to my little station where I put my watch and my wallet, and there's a note. And it says, I hope you had a good day at work. A little sticky note. So as I'm walking around the house, I see another one that says, I love you. And then I get to my office, which is a little bit off the laundry room, and that's where I got all my stuff laid out. And I sit down because I'm going to start working on doing some reading and some writing for recording and that sort of thing. And it says, a note says, get busy reading and writing with an exclamation point. Don't get distracted with YouTube. That's a wife who knows her husband, let me just tell you. Now, I love searching YouTube. All kinds of crazy things you can learn on YouTube. Most of it ends up being music or how to do something. I actually use it sometimes to look up words of the Bible, how to say them. Because there are some words that you think sounds one way, but in Hebrew it's actually said another way, or in Greek it's said another way. I've learned how to repair and rebuild my carburetor for my weed eater on YouTube. I sat out in my shop one day with my phone and played the video over step by step and saved myself $90 from taking it to a shop. So YouTube is great, but I get really distracted with YouTube. So let's just say, suffice it to say that sometimes my YouTubing can be quite distracting. Because I'll go in and say, I'm going to go work on my message, or I'm going to go read one of the books that I need to read. And she'll hear music playing. And I'll get a text. Are you reading? And she's in the living room. Okay, we're talking 30 feet away. Are you reading? Yes, I'm reading. And so I'll pull it up, and I'll do my stuff, and then I'll stop a little bit, and I'll say, oh, something else got me. Now, I wonder what this one is. Oh, that's a police chase. Click. And she'll hear the sirens, and she'll text me. Hey, yes, I'm reading. I'll go in there, yes, I've got it. Just leave me be. Well, you need to get it done. Because you'll wait till Saturday, or you'll wait till this, and when we're trying to do something, and you'll be too busy. Well, she knows me. So that distraction is there, and that's part of the message today that we're going to talk about. So when I sat down to read the message and to really focus on what God wanted me to say, that note kind of helped guide things. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 9. And if you've got a pencil and a piece of paper or a bulletin, I've got 3 points that I want you to write down to carry with you through the week. So it's always good to take a little notes in church. You can remember what I said, and it keeps you awake. Luke chapter 9. We're going to verse 57. We'll go through 62, and it says, Luke chapter 9, verse 57 says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, that's Jesus, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said to Jesus, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now that sounds kind of harsh. Jesus' answers are kind of harsh. But we're going to talk about those and see how they apply to us today. So we have Jesus who's walking back to Jerusalem. This is his journey back to Jerusalem. And obviously he's engaged with 3 different men. And it's not recorded what led up to the conversation. It just kind of, there it is, a conversation. It's possible that these men wanted to follow Jesus. It's possible that there's a group of people who are his groupies and they're following him around to see what else he's going to do. It could be rubberneckers or nosy people that want to see what Jesus has been doing through his journey. But it's very possible that these three fellows, these three guys said, "We want to follow you, Lord. We want to do that." But they said, "But." But. Now, I'm sure many people who were knowledgeable about a coming Messiah wanted to see if he was the real deal. I think I'd probably be one of those people. I'd want to see. And the guy says, "I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you will go." That's a bold claim. "I will follow you wherever you go," not knowing where he was going to end up. And Jesus replied simply that foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, implying that he had no home. He was traveling. He had no place to lay his head. Now, how awesome is it this unknown guy said, "I'll follow you wherever you go"? If you had someone come to you and said, "I will follow you wherever you go," some of us would be like, "Uh-uh, that really is okay." And some of us would be like, "Oh, great, I got a fan." That's commendable to say that he was going to follow Jesus, but Jesus does something pretty important. He snatches the romanticism of being followed right out of that guy's statement. What I mean by that is he takes that wow factor out and he says, basically, "Okay, but I don't have a home. I don't have a place to lay my head. The animals have more than I do." So he takes that romanticism, that excitement, that coolness out of the fact that the guy said that he would follow him wherever he went. Tells him that that the comforts of an easy life would be over. What we can understand from that. The comforts of an easy life, Jesus didn't have that. Because he was going from house to house and place to place, trying to get to Jerusalem, trying to get to the cross. If you got that pencil, I want you to write down this first point with this first guy. Following Jesus challenges the comfortable disciple. Following Jesus challenges the comfortable disciple. So what do we have as disciples of Christ? If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're a disciple. If you believe in your heart and you've been saved by the Holy Spirit, you believe in Jesus. You're a disciple of Jesus. How comfortable is that? Well, I think for all of us sitting here today, I think it's pretty daggone comfortable. We have the freedom to worship. We have the freedom to believe. We don't have persecution like that of the original church. People aren't looking to kill us because we proclaim the name of Christ in our life. Or we read the Holy Bible. We don't have that persecution. So we have that comfort of freedom to believe. We have comfortable places of worship. That's a big one. We have comfortable places of worship. We have church buildings, roofs over our heads, that if it was storming, we could still come here and worship. We would be out of the rain, we could still come here and worship. We'd be out of the wind. We have air conditioning. Praise the Lord, we have air conditioning. But let me ask you this. And if you're really true to yourself, and I want you to answer it because I don't want you to have to feel like you're confessing. How many of us would come to church if I called, I did a one call now and said the air conditioning was broke but we're still meeting and it's 85 degrees in here? Would you skip that Sunday? We could go old school and have some fans. That's exactly right. But in all honesty, if we didn't have AC here, how many truly would say, "Oh, we'll just skip that Sunday until it gets fixed"? Don't answer. Our pews are comfortable. You're sitting in a pew. You're not sitting on a dirt floor. Many all over the world today are worshiping on a dirt floor. But they're worshiping. The comforts of musical instruments, a choir, the comforts of classrooms that we can learn about our Savior. We can learn about how God's working and how he worked in the Bible and how that applies to us. We have wonderful teachers that do that. We have comforts of study materials that we can read. We got technology that we can look at and read our scriptures and read commentaries and read what other people have loved from God working in their life. What about personal? We have homes, we have places to sleep, we have food, we have an education system that at least tries to teach us something. Teach us how to read. We have money to spend, and we have money to donate. And I promise this is not a tithing sermon. Everything we could want to be a comfortable disciple of Christ. But what is required? All that stuff isn't required. You just have to believe in Jesus as the Savior of the world. You have to believe that He died for you. You allow Him to lead your life. That's the hard one there. That's what's required. You have to allow Him to lead you wherever it takes you. Whatever condition it is, and whatever uncomfortable position it may put you in, being a disciple of Christ can be uncomfortable. But are you willing to do whatever you're led to do? Or is there a comfort in our lives preventing us from a full commitment? Is there a comfort in our life preventing a full commitment to that relationship, to that discipleship, to that leading? Following Jesus challenges the comfortable disciple. And he was telling that first guy, this is not a comfortable thing to do. You can follow me wherever you go, wherever I go. But it's not going to be comfortable because I have no place to lay my head. Jesus talks to the second man. He looks at him and says, follow me. He doesn't ask. He doesn't propose. He doesn't recommend. It's a blunt two-word statement, follow me. And the guy said, but can I go bury my father? Now, we're reading that, and it can be looked at that maybe his father was dead and waiting on him to go be buried. Although that may be highly unlikely based off the traditions and the ceremonies of burying the dead, that he probably wasn't dead, but he'd probably been close to being. He may have been older or may have been dying. Can I go and take care of my dad and then bury him when he passes? Now, that's a pretty good excuse. I would be hard-pressed to argue with that excuse and go, well, you do need to look out for Pops. You need to take care of your family. You need to do that. But Jesus replies and says, the dead can bury their dead. But you can go and proclaim the kingdom now. And that's a hard pill to swallow. He was asking the guy to stop everything he was doing and follow him. Stop what you're doing and follow me. Let nothing else take precedent over you believing in me, over you being my disciple, over you sharing my message. This is a great situation of being called to do something in the name of the Lord, a calling. We each get them. It's whether or not we choose to listen to it or not is the big question. The kingdom is so important, it can't wait. And the second point that I want you to write down is following Jesus challenges the convenient disciple. Following Jesus challenges the convenient disciple. Now, when I was growing up, and my parents will probably agree to this, they'll start laughing, at least smiling at me. But my favorite line was, I'm gonna. Tommy, do this. I'm gonna. I'm gonna. I'm gonna, Mama. I'm gonna, Daddy. Tommy, have you done this? I'm gonna. I've gone my way through all my childhood. I'll tell you right now, I'm still gonna do stuff that I ain't done. Have you done this? Have you done that? I'm gonna. That was my saying. I'm gonna. Everything I wanted to do was inconvenienced with everything I had to do. Everything I wanted to do was inconvenienced with everything I had to do. We all do it. We all have those things, and sometimes we bargain with ourselves. But are we saying to God, I'm gonna? Are we being inconvenienced by living for Christ? If we had made that great step toward having a relationship with Jesus, are we willing to forego everything to follow Him everywhere? Can we stop what we're doing when we're called? The one willing to follow Jesus does not say, I have to do this today, but tomorrow I can help you, Lord. They say, I'll do it now. We agree to follow. Jesus, I'll go with you wherever you want me to go. And there is no buts. We can't be convenient followers because it fits our schedule better. We can't bargain our way into a relationship, into that discipleship with Christ. Lord, if you just let me go do this one last thing, I promise I'll do this. Lord, if you just let me go do this, let me go talk to this person, let me go handle this issue, I promise I'll come back to you. I promise I'll come back to you. That is not how this works. Lord, if you just, I promise I'll come to church on Sunday if you just let me enjoy Saturday. Promise. I'm going to. Our calling is a 24-hour job. You're not a Christian Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. We're Christians 24 hours a day. We're disciples 24 hours a day. And it's hard because we're sinners. We fail. We're going to fail. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He expects us to try. But the good thing about our failures is that because He died for us, we have forgiveness. And we can say, praise you, Lord, for forgiving me because I did not put you in my schedule. Thank you for waking me up, opening my eyes. Forgive me because I penciled you in and didn't put you in permanent. Please help me learn that my schedule revolves around you first. Guide me to how you want me to live my life, so that I can worship you first. I'm thankful we can go to Him in prayer and we can say that. We can stand in the street and yell it. We can close our eyes and pray it. And guess what? He's there. He'll never turn His back. When we're pulling away, His hand is still there asking for us to grab it. Just when we pull away, yeah, but I'm just going to do this one more thing. No, I'm still right here. Jesus is still right there waiting. Following Jesus challenges the convenient disciple. Let's not be a convenient Christian. The third and final person Jesus talks with is a man who says to Him, I will follow you, Lord, but let me go and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service. He uses a great example of plowing, referring to a story that's in 1 Kings between Elijah and Elisha. Elijah placed his cloak on Elisha, naming him as a successor, and that he would continue to lead. And Elisha looked back at his family, looked back to say goodbye to his parents. And Elijah instructed him not to look forward, to see where God was taking Elisha. And he was called immediately to follow God's leading right then. Following Jesus, this is your third point. Following Jesus challenges the distracted disciple. Following Jesus challenges the distracted disciple. If you plow a field and you look back, failing to focus on what's in front of you, I've never plowed a field, but I'm pretty sure if I did it while I was looking back, it'd be one crooked field. My lines would be all over the place. Remember Peter in the boat taking his eyes off Jesus when Jesus said, step over the boat, walk on the water with me. He took his eyes off Jesus, in the water he went. But whose hand was right there to pick him back up? When I was writing this, a song that stuck in my head, I've heard, I loved the Statler Brothers. I'm an old soul. I loved the Statler Brothers. And there was a song that they sang, and I'm just going to read the lyrics. I will promise you I will not torture you and sing it. But it's a great song. It says, keep your eyes on Jesus, focus on His love. If you believe, you'll receive visions from above. When your eyes are opened, you can see His point of view. So keep your eyes on Jesus, because He keeps His eye on you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. How many times are we at work or at home working on something, and boom, we get distracted with something else? That is me. I just told you about it. YouTube. Cool new video pops up, I will stop what I'm doing to hit play. How many projects have we started and never finished because something else saw it need to be done? Where you're working on something at the house and you look over and, oh, there's a broken shutter. Oh, let me go do that. You walk over and you fix the broken shutter and you never fix the first thing you were trying to do because you're too busy with the other thing. And then when you get done with the shutter, oh, well, that needs to be painted. Let me go get some paint. But you still got to fix the rocking chair or the lock, and you never get around to it. Well, I started that a couple months ago, but I got distracted. Laundry. You're doing laundry and you leave it in the dryer. I leave it in the dryer because I need something else better to do. I'm going to get it. I'm going to. It's hard to stay focused in this world. You want to see the definition of distracted? Walk into a classroom. Or try to teach adults for an hour and a half. We can't sit longer than an hour without being distracted. They actually teach us when we're teaching adults in instructor school. Don't get long-winded. Take a break every 55 minutes. It resets the distraction meter in people's heads. But we get sidetracked. I told you a couple weeks ago about dancers spinning and they have a focus point, and that our focus point is Christ, and that when we're spinning circles round and round and round and round and round and round, and round, every time we look, we don't get dizzy because we're focused on Christ. Just as he did here, he wants us to look forward, to move forward. If we play follow the leader, we don't look behind us. We look at what's ahead and who's ahead and what's to come. Our faith is the same way. Follow the leader. What's behind us is something that cannot be changed. You can't change what's already happened, but you can help shape what's about to come. You can't change the things that have happened to us. You can't change the hurts. You can't change the good stuff. You can't change the disappointments. But what you can change and what you can look forward to is Christ working to mold what's to come into something he wants to do. We've got to be conscious of our distractions so we can keep our eyes on Jesus. He never changes. I've said it before, he's the one constant in the inconsistencies. He's the one constant in all of our inconsistencies if we choose to look forward. Our 3 points. Following Jesus challenges the comfortable disciple. Our true comfort comes from our God. All others are unnecessary. Following Jesus challenges the convenient disciple. Let's not keep Christ waiting. He isn't asking for an appointment on your calendar. He's asking for you to act now. And following Jesus challenges a distracted disciple. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on what God wants you to do. Keep your eyes on the workings of the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't look back. Because if we follow Jesus, if we're looking forward to what God is doing for us and what Jesus wants us to do and what we're being led to do, our lives, and I can pretty sure guarantee that if we're looking forward and we're doing what God wants us to do, will affect others' lives. They'll never be the same because we will be sharing our light of Christ with those whose lights may be a little bit dimmer. We may be lifting someone up. We may be praying for someone. We may be loving someone who doesn't know how to be loved. We may be reaching someone who doesn't know that Christ exists, that they hear all these different religions and these other things and names. We may be the hope for the hopeless if we don't become distracted. So here's the hard question. Are you comfortable? Are you convenient? Or are you distracted? I'm all three. I'll tell you that right now. I'm confessing that before this body today, that I am a convenient, comfortable, distracted Christian. I stand up here and preach to myself. As we go into open worship and we take true amounts of time, true quiet, not thinking about grocery lists, not flipping pages, not checking our phones, if we take the time to actually be still, say, Lord, tell me what you want to tell me. Take this time to think about that. Lord, take the distractions away from me. Lord, make my calendar revolve around you. Help me be the comfort level you want me to be. Let me step outside my comfort zone and hold the hand of someone who needs prayer. Let me go visit a shut-in. Let me send a card. Let me make a phone call. Let me tell someone I forgive them. Whatever the leading is, you know the struggles in your lives. God knows them too. Without hesitation, without questions or distractions, allow the Spirit to work in you. Jesus is calling. Jesus is saying, like I put on the sign, follow me. How will you answer? And whatever you do, don't look back.
84, my faith looks up to thee, verses 1 and 4.
Uncomfortable, inconvenient, or distracted. Guide our eyes, guide our lives as we go out of this place and we preach in our way the message of the cross in your holy name. Amen. Have a great week. Amen.